Welcome to LeagueCast.
Hello and welcome to episode 638 of the LeagueCast podcast. I'm your host, Nick. Joining me is Aiden.
Hey, how's it going?
And Colton.
Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday indeed. This week we have a little bit of LeagueCast news, a lot of new news that will probably take, I would say, most of the episode. We'll probably do a little bi-weekly hosted by Aiden. We'll talk about competitive league, roundtable, and mail fight. Aiden, how was your week?
Mike was good. Very little League of Legends outside of our ARMs, which you can talk about if you want.
No, I think you should bring it up.
I think the game's rigged. Maybe people were right.
No, yeah, Riot intentionally placed us against people who are actually good at the game.
No, we just lost a lot of ARMs.
Yeah.
And then we won a bunch of ARMs because we lost so many because MMR is actually a real thing. No, but it felt like I feel like I can take a step back from games and go, what, like, and determine whether our comp's better or worse. And if I'd say we played like what, like 20 to 30 ARAMs probably.
Yeah, I think that's a fair estimate.
And in those first like 20 or so, I think we got the better comp once, like objectively speaking, like taking a step back, which is a game we won, by the way. And then it was like, fuck, the other games were rough, man.
Yeah, they sure were.
Turned around and then we like got back to like having like pretty even comps or like having better comps, and but it was like fuck, are we the problem?
It did feel that way, right?
Problem.
Yeah, it was fun though. I still enjoy playing them, so
yeah.
Other than that, hey, Maple Sedari update. I did my first Black Mage clear, guys.
Whoa, he's the goat. Lusan al Gaib.
Pretty good. It's actually cool though. Like I'm gonna gush about Maple Sedari for like a minute. It's actually like a cool fight though, compared to like other like bosses in like a 2D MMO. So like in most boss fights, you have like a certain number of lives that you can die, right? Which is usually like 5 or 10, based depending on the boss. So Black Mage, you have 12, which is a lot, and it's a 4-phase fight. But the cool thing about Black Mage is that every phase has white and black attacks, and white attacks give you a thing called white curse, and black attacks give you a thing called black curse. And so you can die normally, like lose all your HP and you die and you lose life, right? Cool. But also the way that it works is that, so like phase one, there's like 3 white attacks and 3 black attacks. Phase two, there's like 7 white attack, or not 5 white attacks, like 4 black attacks. And the way it works is that if you have white curse from getting hit by a white attack, if you get hit by black curse, you immediately lose life, but you don't die.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, so it's like you can just fuck, and you also get skill locked for 3 seconds, so you can't like use any abilities or heal or move. So if you fuck up, you can die really fast in that fight.
Yeah, that sounds disastrous.
Yeah, and it's a 4-phase fight. It's just like it's a really cool mechanic, right? Like just that idea is like very, very cool. It's a very fair fight. There's definitely bosses in that game that are like less fair, and you can die to some bullshit sometimes. That's just a fair fight with cool mechanics that's pretty hard. So I'm glad I finally did it. I have to do it 7 more months in a row to fucking hit late end game in that game, but I'm glad I did. That game's fun, man. Fucking, I guess it's just MMOs in general. Like late stage bossing it at any MMO is like just fun, I think. So
yeah, I mean, that's always the fun part of MMOs, right? Is like at least more traditional ones, showing up for the raids and getting a lot of gear and upgrading that way, like, I think is the really fun part.
Yeah.
So it's really cool to see that, like, not necessarily as gear, but as like, well, it is gear, right? You said like a weapon.
Yeah, it's a weapon. Then you have to like do 7 months of clearing that boss plus 7 like really hard missions to like liberate the weapon, have it like unlocked so you can actually use it.
Yeah, I mean, that's really cool. It is interesting to me that it's 8 months instead of what I would assume to be a more traditional, like 8 weeks at the most.
It's a boss you can only run once a month is the thing.
Yeah. I just don't know why it's a once a month thing versus like a once a week, I guess. Once a month just seems like, okay, I'm not going to play for a month now, right? Whereas like at least weekly is, I don't know,
Yeah, people definitely have boss mules, like secondary camps, where that's all they do, right? Is they run their fucking liberation mission, like, first day of the month, and then they don't play that character again until next month.
Yeah.
But it's fun. I've been really enjoying it. What about your week, Colton?
Yeah, I didn't play any MapleStory this week, which is cringe big for me.
Wait, before you start, can we start an official, like, countdown to liberation?
It'll be like November.
Like, will you set like a date, right? That we can all check in on, like, oh, I wonder how far Aiden's away.
Yeah.
It'll be that whatever Wednesday, right?
Yeah. It will be like the first. I mean, I can do it anytime after like month reset. So I can do it November 1st, I think is. And that's assuming I don't fail out on any month too then, which at this point I'm just getting stronger, getting better at the boss fight. But in theory, if I die out and then they finish the boss fight, I don't clear that month.
So you're only able to start the boss fight once a month. It's not even like you can only finish it once a month.
I can start it as many. You can start it like currently the thing in the game is being changed. You can like run any boss three times in a day to like run it. But you can only clear it once a month. But if your party clears like and you don't like you die out, then you don't count. It doesn't count as you clearing it.
But you'd be able to start it again but then you'd have to do it by yourself, right?
No, I couldn't. I can't do it at all.
Wait, so even though it doesn't count as you clearing it, it would count as you clearing it?
In that situation?
Yeah, that's so like trash. Usually if you're running with like friends, like if someone dies out, you'll
just wipe everything.
You back out and then you go back in, right? But if you're running with pubs, which I did last month, I think I might have a group going forward though. you're fucker Tony, dude.
Yeah, wow. Okay.
But it's fun. It's great.
Cool. And if you fail one time, does it restart your progress or is it like a...
No. It's just like, you just need to like, you get a fragment from every time you clear, which then is
gotcha.
Like, for one of the missions.
I see. Cool. That's awesome. Nice.
Thanks for taking interest in my hobbies, Dad.
Hey, yeah, cool. I would love to learn about it.
Back to my week, which again included no MapleStory.
I apologize.
I didn't really play a whole lot of ranked. I think I played like four or so games to prevent decay. I had a game that I was actually doing quite well on Huey Bottom, but then the Aphelios who had like been farming with me bottom just popped off in like 1v9'd.
Nice.
So that was really fun to play against when like we would catch him with abilities, get him to like a third, and then he would just like nuke everybody and kill the whole team.
Mm-hmm.
My current, League of Legends balance take is that Aphelios is way too strong, even though I know that he's like just very strong if he gets to free farm to three items. Outside of that, still been playing a little bit of TFT. Definitely have slowed down on that as well. I watched the Fallout show. It was pretty good.
Ooh.
Just ended up binging it, I think, like a Thursday afternoon and like a Friday afternoon. And then I got Helldivers. I've only played a couple missions, but it seems like a pretty fun game so far. A lot of my friends have been playing it, so excited to play more of that. I think that could be a fun game for the three of us if you guys were interested at some point.
Yeah.
But that's about it for my week. Nick, what you been up to?
Cool. As always, mostly Path of Exile. I almost queued up for... Oh, I in fact did queue up for a ranked game. I got to the part where the lobby was supposed to go through. Someone declined, and then I declined and went to do something else instead. But I have, I think, three games to play to reach D4 and then, or to at least finish my placements. And I'll have to do that soon so I can get my rewards. But, our ARAMs have been fun. I would say playing them, you know, obviously very frustrating, but always fun to play with some friends and have a good time like that. So we'll have to see what other game we end up picking soon. I'm sure most of us are tired of only League. So,
hey man, if we weren't already in ARAMs, it would make me sound like a big baby being like, hey, can we play something else? I was like, I think I would rather do anything else after losing our like seventh game in a row. I was like, fuck, I'd rather just, why don't we just sit here and talk about our feelings?
Yeah. Fair enough. That's gross.
Why would we do that?
But yeah, I think that's about it. So we can move on with the show. Aiden, any LeagueCast news?
No LeagueCast news. Stuff coming down the pipeline, dude, but the pipeline's clogged.
Oh, no. Why is it clogged?
Because I've been putting stuff, too much stuff in the pipe.
Oh, okay, cool. That's cool, cool, cool. Okay, awesome. Then let's get on with the actual, league stuff. Patch 14.9. Coming up. Vanguard like will be deployed. One. Yeah, it did seem like a big patch. Vanguard's coming out, guys. Whoa.
I can't wait for my performance to not be affected at all.
True. True, true, true. They're going to depreciate DirectX 9. Lee Sin's coming out. Ranked 1 and 2 split timing was announced. Arena is Poggin.
It's back.
It's back.
With and more Poggin. Teams and more time.
More teams and more time. And I think we'll just start with the big item changes.
Sound good?
Let's do it. Hex Shrinker. So their goal is to make Hex Shrinker and Maw a little less oppressive against AP champions while keeping them effective item options, which is kind of wild saying that we want it to be less oppressive against the people it's supposed to be good at against, right?
Yeah, it's weird. But I also don't know if I've ever played them, but I don't play them in mages maybe, but like I feel like I'm never like, damn, that Maw.
Yeah, I don't know. Hex Drinker losing a little magic resist and the recipes changing, and then Maw is getting an increase in cost, ability haste, MR is lowered, AD is up, and then the lifeline shield increased and the Omnivamp lifesteal changed to Omnivamp, which was taken out of the game and then brought back, I guess.
Hell yeah. I can't wait for on hit builds to get this so they can just go Omnivamp off of all of their on hits.
I'm finna Omnivamp, bro.
Hell yeah. I do think this is really weird where it's like this item that's really good against mages or like that you build to counter mages, we want to make it less oppressive against that. It's like
I'm not buying this item then, right?
I think that it's a weird position where just the way they said it, I think,
yeah,
is not correct. Like they just want to say this is too, we feel like it's too strong, right? Because mm-hmm. like that is its intended role, so the item is just too good, right? Like we feel like Infinity Edge deals too much damage against low health, like against characters with a ton of armor. So yeah. It's like, yeah, that's the point of the item. but interested to see if there's anything. I guess my only thought would be like, maybe we see mid laners, like AD mid laners, not go first item Hex Drinker, but I feel like this is almost better now in that regard. I mean, like the component is worse, but like the actual item getting haste and more AD. I guess you're spending, what, 300 gold on 15 haste and 5 AD, but
that's a lot of gold to spend on that.
I mean, yeah, 300 gold is a lot. I'm interested to see it because I feel like there are going to be like Talons and Nefiris who utilize this now as a completed item better.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. It's definitely a better, like, item in terms of like slot efficiency. I don't know, you by buying it early, like your individual matchup and maybe even like a good comp it'll be strong in, but you're also delaying your lethality spikes really, really hard, especially with like how good Profane Hydra is, and it's I guess not scaling with lethality, but being its effectiveness increasing with lethality is, I don't know.
Yeah, kind of crazy. Yeah, for sure. Let's move on to another AD survivability item, Death's Dance. They're buffing it with a similar goal. The AD is going up by 6. The recipe is getting adjusted to include more of a build path with components and not just 1,000 gold combined cost. And the healing is going from 50% bonus AD up to 75% bonus AD.
Cool, cool, cool.
Steric's Gauge is getting its price reduced, increased by 200, and just cooldown increased by 30 seconds. I really like the cooldown changes. I like the idea of not every fight is like a fresh, like 100 to 0, all cooldowns drop type fight. I like having like, oh, I popped this, so it's down. Right, like that's a cool part of League that I feel like has been a little lost more recently. So like changes like this are always welcomed by me.
I think it's a really good thing to have, to kind of piggyback on your point, to have that those timings be on items and not on abilities too, because like it feels really bad if you're playing like I'm just gonna pick a Mumu because he's a, you know, very recognizable like big team fight ult, but like, if you have to play a Mumu without your big team fight ult because you used it, you know, a minute and a half ago, but the cooldown is so long that it just stays, I don't know, it's once every other fight. Like, I think that feels a lot worse than, I don't have Zhonya's for this fight, right? Like, yeah, that comparison, sure. I think, is a much better way to keep those windows in the game.
Yeah, and I guess like the one thing is like I do think if you're individually, like it feels less bad to be like, to, I mean, this is kind of what you're getting at as well. I'm not sure like maybe what perspective you're looking at it from. Like, I feel like if you're playing X mid laner and you don't have Zhonya's, it feels like less of like a blight on the game than playing X mid laner and not having your ultimate feeling, fuck man, yeah. I just want to use cool ability, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. I think it's good to have these these windows of vulnerability and strengths and weaknesses. But I think it's way better from like a game design perspective in terms of like the game being fun to play and also fine to play against,
mm-hmm.
For it to be the items that are, more gated than ultimate abilities. 'Cause like, there's nothing worse than playing a character who has a really, really impactful ultimate ability and then you just can't use it because the cooldown is so fucking long.
Cool.
True.
Cool. Sundered Sky. The cooldown is being increased per target, and the heal is going down.
That's an Ornn cool.
Upgrade unchanged. So I wonder if the Ornn upgrade keeps the cooldown.
That's what it reads as. I'm assuming.
I would doubt that, right?
I'm assuming it's just like the damage part is Ornn, like is unchanged. But they are really good at writing. Parts of
the way you read that is like the Ornn item still keeps its previous cooldown, which is crazy.
Yeah, I would assume that's not the case. Also, in the bug fixes related to this item, Graves can now proc it on his autos.
Oh, it's a good thing that Graves couldn't do it before, I think. So cool.
Everyone's favorite combination with Sundered Sky, Eclipse. Hey, it's really, really good. So they're nerfing it a little bit. The proc, instead of doing 8% of your max health, now only does 6% for melee characters. Still 4% for ranged.
You remember what it has said 20? Like, it never was 20, but it just said 20 for, like, 4 patches?
Yeah.
That was good.
I just don't know why this and Sundered Sky are not unique. It almost feels like they should be, right? Like, or I'm sorry, share the same unique passive.
Yeah, they're different.
Like one
in a
should
way,
be for
but...
one. It should be like heal and barrier, right? Like those are obviously different, but they serve kind of the same purpose.
No, I always go heal barrier when I play.
Oh, okay.
Yumi.
But that's what I mean. Is like I don't know why. Those get to be the same, I suppose.
Yeah, I also
or don't get to be the same.
Yeah, I think if like both these items are like tuned down a little bit, though, I feel like it would feel good. Like it does feel good building it on like certain characters, right? Because like usually you're going for a big proc, and then the big proc gives you obviously shield, heal, and damage. I feel like if they're like tuned down a little bit, it will be less of a complaint, and also still just feel good for the characters who want to build it. So
I would feel that way as well. Like the items just feel really strong right now.
So. Yeah, cool. Next we're on to our champions finally. So Akshon's getting some changes. His Q movement speed on champions no longer scales with level. The damage to non-champions is decreased, and the R minimum damage per shot is increased, but the maximum damage is adjusted. So I'm assuming that means the damage on the maximum is down. No,
the maximum goes up. So his
it starts lower but gets bigger.
Okay. That's fine.
No.
Nope.
Barely. Yeah. Yes. I'm sorry. So his like laning is really, really strong, and they're just identifying that in nerfing his Q, which, I mean, essentially insta-clears the wave. And I didn't realize this until I started like actually playing him, but his Q damage to minion scales with like with points in your ability. So it'll start at like 60% and then go up to like, I think 90% to champions, at least prior to this, which is really weird. I feel like there are not many characters who have that.
So I guess it forces him to go Q, which is probably good because you don't want him going E. But
no, yeah. And that is what it was on release, right? You'd max E and just build on hit. So
cool.
All right, sweet. Belveth. Do you want to go?
It's my turn. Passive bonus attack speed adjusted. Q damage decreased. Q damage to monsters increased early game. Cool.
Kennen. E damage range indicator added. Our animation added and can now cast while moving.
It's a big change for Kennen.
Yeah,
that is a huge change.
There's a lot of characters who have that, like, I'm powering up, like, I'm using my ultimate thing, and Kennen's the one I think that it is the most impactful, like, as a hindrance to him, so.
Yeah, it does feel that way, doesn't it?
Yeah, like, you would think, right, that the very short cast time wouldn't affect anything, but it, like, that quarter second means a lot, mm-hmm. I think, in a lot of situations.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wonder if they'll do a pass on the other ones, like Nasus, Renekton come to mind. Like, I think those are like less impactful, but like maybe the fact that they're less impactful means that they should just change it and make that so they can use it while moving.
Yeah.
Cool. Next is Nyla. I'm taking all Colton's characters. Q minimum damage decreased, bonus attack speed increased, bonus damage based on critical chance decreased. She's just strong, man. She's strong but underplayed.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel. And I don't know. I know you mentioned a while ago, like, holy fuck, it's crazy how much this character actually has in her kit, right?
I played her in our fucking custom game where I had to play like a character I never played before, and every single time I'd like walk back to lane, I'd read a new part of her kit and I'd be like, what the fuck, dude?
Yeah, like, oh my god, it's crazy this character has this. And I still hold that is the case, but it is what it is, isn't it?
Yeah, I think definitely, like, as the one of us who has played a lot of Nyla, like, these are very small changes, right? In that, like, she's losing 10% total AD ratio on Q, right? So for like 250 AD, that's 25 damage. I guess that's significant. More attack speed is really nice. I think one of her biggest things, one of the things that's really frustrating about like playing Nyla is that she needs attack speed, but like none of the items you typically build have attack speed. So you rely just on Berserker's Greaves and then like from your runes level scaling. And then obviously you get the bonus from your Q. So even like 10%, I think, will be pretty significant.
And you don't take, not you, but like Nyla's take Conqueror and not Tempo, right?
Yeah, typically.
But we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, interested to see. I haven't been playing much Nyla for quite a while now, but I think definitely she's still quite strong.
Yeah. Cool.
Sejuani, passive bonus resistances increased, W damage adjusted. So it looks like, again,
more percentage health, fucking
lower at starting ranks, higher towards the end of the game. And it looks like the first hit damage is going up. Second hit base damage is down, but the health ratio is going up.
In a randomizer, man.
It's just so, yeah, generally the W is going to do more damage, but also the health ratio is what's significantly up. That's okay.
That's awesome.
Cool. Next is Skarner. He is getting his mana regen growth increased, his Q damage decreased. Buff no longer refreshes when hitting wards and plants. So that's the holding the rock, I'm assuming, when you're on your... Yeah. And then his W slow is decreased. This character's pretty good. He's
right, that's not the problem.
One of the most miserable characters to play against in lane in the game right now. He's mostly abused in top lane right now, but if you've been on League Twitter at all, you'll notice that he has pretty hard to do, but like disgusting mid lane combos, like to the point where you take them from max range of their turret to under your turret with combos. And they're pretty doable. Like they require flash and they require the enemy not to have flash, but like that's a lot of fucking distance that he's taking characters. And then also the cool thing we learned is, hey, if you play Skarner, play him on ARAM. If you see him, if you hit Snowball and then immediately cast your E backwards, you 100% of the time grab them and bring them into your team. It's undodgeable. So yeah, fucking just do that on cooldown with Snowball. Like it feels like your character is gated by Snowball in that game mode, which is, I've never felt that way on any other character in the game. So
yeah, it's actually disgusting. A lot of it just like we, I guess we haven't mentioned on the show, but talking about it like together, it's almost like his pull starts from inside his model and not, I don't know where he's facing, which is
it should be from his claws, right? Like that would make sense.
Yeah. So you like, you grab it before you should be able to, which is, I don't know, really fucked.
And that's how all the mid lane combos work, right? Is like you literally grab them because they're like in the middle of you. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's really weird. Like, I feel like it's definitely done because it feels like shit the other way, like almost certainly.
Yeah.
But like, it looks weird. It's super unintuitive and it just allows for so many combos of like him being able to face the way that he probably shouldn't be able to drag you. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're fixing the, champion radiuses for a lot of characters, increasing some, decreasing others. So check that out. I don't think it'll make too much of a difference, to be honest. But then we have some small changes for champions. Okay. They just had a little blurb and I thought it was important, but it's just a little joke. Ahri, W damage decreased, ultimate cooldown increased.
Woo.
That's good. I think this character is very, very OP.
Yeah, she's good. Amumu base AD and base armor increased.
Nice. Aurelion Soul E damage is decreased.
Whoa, he's fixed. Losing
0.2 AP ratio.
That's definitely the issue. It's not him stacking tremendously with the Q changes.
Uh-huh. They should add a range scaling on his Q with Stardust, not just levels. So that he can be even less interactive.
It's just, I don't know. The crazy thing is obviously these changes, like, he probably was strong before, right? I think we can all agree with that. Before the stacking changes. But then they just haven't changed it back. Yeah. Right? Like, just change it back to what it was beforehand. I don't know.
I mean, I think they could just nerf it. I feel like the issue with the old one is he was literally a PvE character, which I don't think is
that's good
for the game, right? Like, I think the idea of him having to play more aggressive for, like, stacks, even if he gets more, is, like, cool. But it is definitely overtuned. It's fucking stupid.
That's fair. You know what? I'll agree with that, actually. I don't think they should change it back.
When he just sat under his tower clearing waves with the E-man, no.
Yeah.
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 Cool.
Yeah. Is it my turn? Oh, Blitzcrank. Passive mana barrier is the shield duration is being dropped from 10 seconds to 4 seconds.
Yeah.
And then the overdrive is the bonus is going down, the move speed bonus.
Yeah. Cool.
Interesting.
Evelynn's W slow is decreased and her R damage is decreased. That's good. Her R does like it overkills by so like much a damage. Lot. So.
Yeah. You know who else's ability is like that? I feel like Skarner's ult has way too much execution. Not Skarner, I'm sorry. Rek'Sai's ult has way too much execution.
I was going to say, I don't think I've ever seen Skarner ult hit, let alone do damage.
Yeah, true. It is really hard to hit that ability.
One other thing I just want to bring up, which I think is wild about Evelynn ult, is that like under a certain health threshold, it deals bonus damage, but like isn't an execute.
Yeah.
In like a really weird way, where I think it's like if they're under 30%, it like deals double damage, but it doesn't just kill.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, it's weird. I feel like most characters, especially like on an ultimate, if you're gonna put a threshold in there like that, it's like, obviously, unless Evelynn is like obscenely behind or you're a character with 600 magic resist, if you're under that threshold, the ult is killing you regardless. So the bonus damage like means nothing.
Yeah, most of the time. Like double or like a crit, if you want to call it. Like it feels like it's like strong enough that like even if you're like a tank building magic resist, it still usually kills you with that. So it's like, that's weird.
Yeah.
But cool.
Anyway, up next, Janna. W damage decreased, E shield increased.
Cool.
Woo.
Jinx, ultimate cooldown increased.
Love it.
Wait, her max rank ult is 45 seconds.
It was 40.
That's crazy, right? Ooh, 45 seconds?
But you never hit 16 as 80 carries, dude. They're fucking...
Yeah, that's fair. You know what?
Slaves to supports, dude.
Lethality, Jinx mid, Axiom Arc first item.
Cool. Next is Karma. Q slow increased. Arc E shield on secondary targets increased. Bonus movement speed increased. So making her a little more utility-esque, which is probably good.
Yeah.
Kassadin, E damage. The AP ratio is being decreased by 10%.
Malzahar, Q mana cost decreased. E cooldown decreased.
It's nice.
Wow. 4 seconds off of Malefic Visions level 1.
Yeah, so it's nice. I mean,
huge. Yeah.
It's weird because like level 1, you use it on enemies too. You don't use it on minions until like, you have all 3 abilities. So just, yeah, it's actually like nice. His level 1's buff, but like after that, it doesn't really change much, I don't think. Cool. Mastery E bonus true damage decrease. Yeah, Mastery's doing really well right now. I've seen a lot of people play him.
Cool.
Olaf, Q damage decreased. Bonus damage to monsters increased. Are passive resistances decreased?
We have Pike. W mana cost increased. Cooldown increased.
Woo, Seraphine. Q AP ratio increased, which I saw the Reddit comments about this, so I'm just going to bring them up. They write, with bot lane AP Seraphine becoming weaker, Seraphine support finally has room for buffs. As if this just isn't, like, there's just an AP ratio buff. Like,
it's a buff for everything, right? Like, obviously, it's not for support, but...
It arguably more of like a buff for like the 80 carry Seraphine that they're talking about becoming weaker.
Yeah. Actually, sorry, I misread the...
It's very strange.
Yeah, I thought it was the other way around, not...
If anything, like it is a buff for support. She builds AP, but it's a buff for support less so than it's a buff for mid and 80 carry Seraphine. Like, it's crazy. It's just weird writing.
I played against a support Seraphine the other day. When she's in the support role, I think she's way more frustrating than as a carry, because at least as a carry, she has to, like, cue the wave. But as a support, she's just, like, running past the whole wave, throwing all her abilities at you from a million units away, and, like, it's just so annoying. Like, it doesn't do a whole lot of damage, right? Like, it's just the, like, Comet, Scorch, Q.
Yeah.
At every 4 seconds, there's another one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Up next, we've got Talia. Q mana cost increased. Damage to monsters decreased.
Okay. Twitch, base health decreased. Health growth increased. W, slow AP ratio decreased. R, bonus AD decreased.
Oh, interesting. Urgot, armor growth decreased.
Whoa. Some ARAM balance changes. MSI clash is coming up. Behavioral system changes as well. Mythic shop rotation. Lots of bug fixes. And then more Empyrean skins. Whoa, cool.
Hold on, just like quickly with the ARAM thing. The hubris change, they're bringing it back to the old thing. So it's being changed from 10 plus 1 per statue for 45 seconds to 15... plus 2 per statue for 90 seconds.
Oh,
it has a range and melee. Okay, on ARAM it has range and melee difference. Okay, that makes sense. So for that's for melee, and then range one is the same. So on melee characters, hubris is going to be good on ARAM again.
Huh.
It's gonna be, and it's like just twice as good as it is for ranged users.
Yeah, it's fucked, actually. Yeah,
that's crazy.
It's probably more than double good, because, like, the duration as well. Like, obviously, the duration matters a little bit less, because you're... Actually, maybe it matters more. I don't know. It's hard to say.
Yeah, huh. I mean, well, like, if it's up for 90 seconds, I feel like on ARAM, that just means it's always up.
Yeah, or you die. Yeah, you always... You die, true. Or... Yeah, it doesn't expire. Mm. But cool. That's weird. Very strange change.
Cool. Yeah, I guess that's it. So let's get into the next piece of news.
Did you mention the behavioral things really quick?
Just very briefly.
Okay, sorry. I thought you said that, but I didn't like hear you. Okay, that's fine. As long as you just mentioned, because like that is something that like lower ELO players are like complaining about a lot, is like when people ruin their games. So it sounds like they're implementing more ways for like LP consolidation and autofill protection and stuff like that. So it's cool.
I like that.
I love that they've included XP boost and ARAM rerolls.
That is it. If an ARAM gets remade, you don't get your rerolls back in its current form. So it's like, obviously, yeah, it's not to the same like severity as like LP consolidation, but it's just like, I think they're just mentioning all the things that like they're now fixing that they probably should have made before.
I'm still very much of the opinion that ARAM should just roll the entire, like, there should just be 15 characters rolled out of the whole pool. Everyone on your team picks from those 15 every game.
Like, yeah, that's probably the best way to do it. But
anyway, cool.
Well, sweet. So Split 2 gameplay preview. I had a chance to very briefly skim over this.
I have the TLDR if you want for it, as it down. Yeah. If you have it all down too, then that's also fine. But
no, I mean, I was just gonna just very briefly talk about the high level stuff, but a TLDR would go hard.
Yeah. So there's three main things that they're doing. So the first one being that each rank split will have gameplay changes. So like the first split of the year is going to be these huge changes, like we saw the map rework and stuff. Split two will be medium sized changes, and then split three will be like smaller sized changes. They also reference like patches that coincide with these to give you an idea of the size of the changes. I meant to look what those patches were, but I didn't. But you can check in their dev blog. They wrote down what patches to like. Hey, this is what it, like size of changes that we should expect, which is cool. The second big thing that they mentioned is that AD carry items are being reworked. It's mostly to focus on like a linear power progression, so less front loaded power spikes. The big changes here that are like broken down are items will offer two stats instead of multiple stats, which is something I spoke about a couple of months ago about like, fuck, some AD carry items are crazy because they offer movement speed, crit, attack speed, AD. Now they'll all offer two. So this will be either attack speed, attack damage, critical strike. They don't list movement speed here, but I'm wondering if that will be like a third stat or if it will be one of the two, because I couldn't imagine I am just being AD and movement speed. So I'm assuming it will be like those three plus maybe movement speed or something, or maybe they'll lose movement speed. We actually don't know. Very interesting.
Yeah, hopefully we'd lose movement speed, because I do think that would be a bad item.
I couldn't imagine it just being two stat. It has to be like an added on thing, like Phantomancer is attack speed 80 and then a little bit of movement speed, or it has to just be not a stat at all. Cool. And then 80 carry items are moving up to 25% crit chance per item. There isn't anything mentioned after this, but I'm assuming this will coincide with a stat reduction overall in these items. They can't keep the same 80 then also get fucking 5% crit chance. That doesn't make sense, but we'll see. So you'll have to buy 80 carries will have to buy attack speed, but you'll have more movement speed options available. So it sounds like just overall you'll have like more options of what you want to do. You're mainly focusing on those three stats to build out your character. And then Stormraiser and Kirch's Shard are being removed. So energized attacks are being reworked. And then two new components are being added in its place. One of them is like they mentioned it briefly, is like it makes your crit strikes bleed. That's like a new item. So who knows, that sounds like a scary thing, but I'm excited to
see. They should also give Draven his bleed passive back at the same time.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
And then
you
auto
you once, then you bleed for 40% of your max health.
And then the third category, if you guys want to like mention what your thoughts on these after, are they're reworking a lot of runes. This is kind of what Nick and I alluded to earlier. So Predator and Lethal Tempo are being eliminated. They're just being removed from the game. Font of Life is being reworked to heal you and your nearest ally if you impair a movement of character, rather than just you hit them, then if your ally autos them, they get healed, I think is how it currently works. Press the Attack is being reworked to offer the same 3-hit bonus, but it will amplify your damage until you leave combat. This is worded weird. I hope it's just it amplifies your damage against that target until end of combat, but the way it's worded to me is like you'll get amped for everyone until, which is fucking whack if that's the case.
So it is, instead of a, they mentioned something about it being selfish, which I believe to mean, instead of press the attack being this person takes
apply expose,
like 12% more damage, it will be the person who procs press the attack will deal 12% more damage until the end of combat to everyone.
I hope it's not to everyone. That's fucking garbage to game design. Everyone.
It's like you've proc'd press the attacks and now all of your damage total will be increased.
Yeah. Just getting three hits to get a fucking permanent buff for a fight, I think is just like, it's too easy of a condition. I hope it's three attacks on a target, proc it, and then like they're exposed to you, for example, until end of fight. But we'll see.
It'll probably end up being that. I don't think that's what it reads now.
Yeah, it definitely reads as like, fuck, you hit three times, now you're just 12% stronger for the entire fight.
My tank let the fucking Zinyao hit him three times, then he flashed into the back line and killed me.
That's so funny.
Just to finish up the segment, Overheal is being removed, just being replaced with Absorb Life, which is going to be a rune that it kind of scales into late game. So it's like scaling lifesteal. So it's whenever you kill a unit. So jungle monsters, minions, champions, whatever, you proc this rune, which heals you for a good amount. I'm assuming it has a cooldown associated with it.
I don't think so. I think it'll be more like Trundle ult where you just get a portion of everyone's health.
Yeah, maybe. It definitely scales, life steal, though. Like you were saying. So, like, it's not going to be a lot early, but it's, like, late game. Like, you can take this rune, then you'll heal up if you get chunked out from, like, anything, which is cool.
Yeah.
And then the last thing is more runes are being reworked in unspecified ways. The only one I've seen on Twitter yet, I'm sure, like, they're all starting to go to PBE and stuff, is Futures Market is being replaced with, I can't remember the name of it. It has some goofy name of, like, get money back insurance.
Insurance?
No, it's like whenever you buy an item, you get 6% of the... Whenever you buy a legendary item, you get 6% of that gold value back.
Interesting.
Like, instead of futures market. So if you spend 3,000... I looked
gold,
up,
you'll get, what, 180?
Yeah, so Rabadon's is the most expensive item in the game, right? So if you spend 3,600 on that, you get 218 back, right? I think it's the math.
That's... So obviously on initial like pass, that sounds really, really strong, right?
I think it's bad.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it's only good if you have a good spike and then are able to purchase something else in addition to it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so you can never purchase anything in addition unless you're buying like fucking three items at one time or something, which is kind of the whole reason why tempo doesn't work with it, because it sets you up faster for your next purchase, but you can never purchase an item and have that effect immediately benefit you, right? It's an effect that doesn't come into
you. You'd have to have too much.
Yeah,
you'd have to have extra.
Instead of for your Rabadon's example, right? Instead of basing at 3,600 to buy Rabadon's, you wait to like 3,800 so you can get Rabadon's and an amp tome.
Yeah,
but also it's just like if I just completed a Rabadon's, the amp tome means not a lot.
Yeah, and it's like it's just a rune. Well, once again, we'll see how it actually turns out. It might get buffed, it might get nerfed. It's a rune that doesn't come into play in the game until fucking minimum ten minutes. Like yeah, it's very interesting. It doesn't even come into play when you buy your
first
item.
Count, right?
No, it's a legendary item, so it doesn't come into play when you buy your first item. It's when you buy your next item. it's so strange.
Oh, it's only for second items.
No, you buy your first item and then you have the gold in your pocket, but.
There is no functional difference in this until you complete your second legendary item
or you buy a
component faster than your opponent.
I mean, it's realized as soon as you have the
purchase anything else after.
It's just that is very late. You're right.
Yeah, it's like minimum fucking 3,500 gold into the game. Actually, probably more because you usually buy boots early.
I guess if you think about, like, let's just break it down. Do you guys feel like a rune that says gain 1,000 gold at 30 minutes would be good?
Depends on where it is and what it replaces, right? It's just a value proposition, right?
Well, this rune could be
really good if everything else in Inspiration is shit, right?
Yeah, I mean, let's just, like, all things considered right now, with whatever... wherever Futures Market is currently located and the options there, like, because I feel like that would be bad.
Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah.
It's bad.
I I think it really changes the functionality of it, where right now I think futures market is you purchase it, I feel like, on two types of characters. You purchase it on like AD assassins, so you can get like super fast derp,
and Lost Chapter.
Or you purchase it on like a mage for a super fast Lost Chapter. Yeah. And the idea of the rune is that you get like an early spike that you can leverage into another early spike. Mm-hmm.
I guess that is a late spike.
With this version that they're changing it to, or like your proposed one, I feel like it maybe does have some good value, but again, now it's more for big scalers, right? Because like the current proposition of this thing is, yeah, like get your first component really fast so you can become strong mm-hmm. at like 6 minutes instead of, you know, 7.5, or, you know, finish your first item a minute earlier, versus this is like hit your 3-item spike faster.
That's true. It isn't a one-to-one, the thing that I'm proposing. Yeah.
Like even what they're actually changing this rune to right now is, I think that this is moving it towards an item that this is like not as much of a snowball with this, but like reliably hit 3 items by taking this rune. Mm-hmm. So I could see it working on scalers.
I had this like funny thing written down. It's tangentially related enough that I think it's fun to bring up here. I had written down mid lane character where their ultimate is gain 1,000 gold. What does the cooldown of this ultimate have to be a good ability? Hmm. Right? And like, obviously it depends on a lot of things. Like, what are their other abilities? Their other abilities are fucking crazy. Like, let's just say they're a standard character. They're like any level of abilities. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And then their ultimate is gain 1,000 gold. What cooldown does that have to be? Right? Like, if it's a 10-minute cooldown, that's bad, right?
Yeah, 10-minute cooldown is bad. I almost think it sounds better than it is because they don't have an ultimate ability to leverage that with, right? If this were like Karthus or whatever, it would probably have to be 10 minutes. I would probably say like, I want to say like 2.5 minutes after, like 2.5 minutes could be the lowest it could possibly be if you full into like cooldown reduction and stuff. I feel like that's not too bad.
It's just so fun thinking about stuff like that. Like,
yeah.
From like a game design perspective, like mm-hmm. it's very interesting.
It is, yeah.
I think it's funny that you specified a mage, because I think this becomes so much better if you just say it's on any ranged character
that like an AD carry,
is going
to
decide to just build on hit.
Yeah.
Right, because like if you look at it through that lens, I think even if it's like 5 minutes, it's probably fine.
Yeah, for sure.
Because like you don't care about any of the ability. Yeah, you don't care about any of the abilities. You just want to auto attack and like
right.
Yeah, no, I thought about it a fair bit because I'm like, fuck, this is kind of interesting. And yeah, I was thinking about like characters who are like don't need access to like specific item effects and stuff like that. So yeah, mm-hmm. I think mage makes sense for like that idea.
Yeah,
I yeah, think but so even too. If it is a mage, I think they just build on hit. Right, like if they replaced Ahri Ultimate with this, I think people just play on hit Ahri because they get 1,000 gold every, you know, 5 minutes.
Yeah, but okay, so what if you were Anivia, right? Or Karthus, like someone who just has really, really bad auto attacks.
Yeah.
Would you still go on hit then?
I think you still could.
Yeah, I mean obviously you can, but I don't know. It would be weird. The math changes a little.
Yeah, it's fun. Cool. Sorry to bring us off topic. Do we want to talk about any of the other split 2 changes, whether it be the 80 carry items, whether it be more of the runes? I'm sure we'll hear about runes in general in a couple weeks, like when they actually go to PPE and stuff. But
I think that's more fun to talk about when we have like solid stuff to sink our teeth into.
I do, like, once again, like, I'm an AD carry hater. I do like the idea, just in general, of crit being 25%. I've mentioned it, like, a couple times. AD carry players have been crying for it for, like, a long time. I think they are going to be underwhelmed by the fact that their items are probably going to be less statted. Crit's not a stat that you feel very, like, powerful with, if that makes sense, right? Like, mm-hmm. it feels powerful in the fact that, oh, I crit every time, so my damage is higher. But, like, it doesn't feel good because your AD is lower, your attack speed's lower. You're, like, there's good trade-offs for assuming, who knows, maybe they just fucking add 5% crit to all the items and I'll go fuck myself. But
I almost think it only feels good. Like, you only really feel the difference if you're playing someone, obviously, who does a lot of damage like Draven, or if it's the difference between, like, you getting a kill and not getting a kill.
Yeah.
And like, I could have crit there, or nice, I crit, something like that.
Yeah, and I love the idea of, like, them having, like, a new item slot, right? The biggest thing is here, it opens up an item slot. You don't have to build 4 crit items instead of 5 to hit 100%.
Yeah.
Which, in theory, from a game design perspective, is great. You get to build, like, an offensive item, or you get to tech something in maybe specifically for the game. My worry, again, is that I think tank items are fucking broken this season. So how many AD carries are going to build Infinity Edge, Bloodthirster, Shield Bow, other crit item into Spirit Visage, right? Like, I don't like stuff like that, and I hope that it's not abused. Once again, we're like getting ahead of ourselves a little bit, but that's my worry about that freedom of items.
Yeah, I mean, it is a little concerning, but we'll have to just trust that Riot does a good job.
Yeah, for sure.
I think there's also some like considerations where I think even now there are certain times where it's like, with when you build 5 crit items, you're like, man, I would like to get this other one because I like what it does, or I like the stats on it more than my other options, but like I can't waste that extra crit.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like maybe I have my 5 items and it's like, well, I would really prefer to go Shield Bow, but I have to go Maw as my defensive item because like I'm already at max crit. I think with this, you know, adjustment to 25%, I think we're gonna see a little bit more of that potentially. And I think it is something they could also probably address by just letting excess crit scale into crit damage, like it does for the characters that have amplification anyway, you know, Yasuo, Yone, Senna.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's funny, right? Like, we've seen a lot of comments in our Discord that this is going to be, like, really big for Yasuo and Yone. I think it's an inadvertent buff to Senna, I mean, however small, but interested to see how this actually shakes out and what stat adjustments we get here. I also think that there's going to be that like fifth item slot is a little weird because I think it's very character dependent, like who can use it well and who can't. You know, I think there are a lot of AD carries who are like, sick, I can get a Blade of the Rune King, or I'm going to go like Guardian Angel. And I guess like GA is kind of universally good, but I feel like there are other characters that are going to be a little bit struggling to find something to put in that fifth slot. And maybe they just buy a tank item, like you're saying, like a Spirit Visage, and that feels bad.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Thanks.
I think that was it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we need a little Vi Weekly.
Yeah, so I still have on the document that we're doing Aiden's weekly new player tips. So I didn't come up with any new player tips this week. So we'll do next week. We'll do some new player tips. But I do have a Vi Weekly. I have the arena challenge powered by Prime Hydration. We mentioned last week that we were going to do an arena challenge, and I put together a Google Sheet with my lack of knowledge of Excel and Google Sheets, and I think I did a bang-up job, guys.
Yeah, it looks good.
I wrote there, feel free to edit and make better if you want, you Excel nerds. And it just will track our stuff for us. I think you have to have over like a certain ranking in arena for it to count or something.
Yeah, over 1500.
So maybe like hold off on using it right away, just so we can actually track our progress and stuff. But
yeah, I think that'll be for the best.
But anyways, we can do that, and then we can also, I'll probably like share it with your actual emails so that we can edit it. We can share it with our community so they can like watch our progress or whatever.
Yeah.
But right now it's just public for people. Cool. Cool.
Sounds good.
And then I also wrote that, do we want to do Song of Nunu review either next week or the week after? Yeah. I'm still the least far into the game, by the way. so I'm happy to just binge it whenever we want to do it. But I know we said
it's only
we were gonna
5 hours, right?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, I can like binge it in like a day or two.
Boys, but I started it the very night that we discussed like buying it, and I don't remember when that was, but that was a while ago. There's just something about it that makes me not want to play it.
We don't have to get into the analysis here, but like it's just a pretty boring children's puzzle adventure game.
The entire thing I've been thinking, I won't like give too much away about it, but like Child God of War,
yeah,
right? Because I haven't played that so far removed that it's out of my mind.
Combat areas feels like. Plus yeah. very easy puzzles.
Yeah. It's, I don't know, it's wild.
We'll talk about it more. Maybe, like, if we want to try to get it done for next week, I can, if we want to set that. If not, we can do, like, the week after. I'm happy for either one.
No, we'll do it next week. I'll just set aside some time and not play Path of Exile instead.
Hell yeah. And then we'll talk about that.
All right.
Cool.
Cool. And what happened to the trivia that we did one round of and I was winning and then we never played?
I still have it if we want to go back. I just thought that, like, doing a part two of a trivia that we did 3.5 months ago is that's a very niche topic. Is like, maybe we'll do it a week that we're not as busy.
That's kind of lame, but if we wait like a year and a half, then it's sick.
That's true. Then it's cooked.
Either way, I still have it and I still have all the data and stuff, so we can go back whenever. So
sounds good.
Cool. MSI starts tomorrow at 4 a.m. EST.
Yeah, what? 4 a.m. Okay.
I'm probably. Cool. Is it best of ones? It's all best of fives, right? I think. Or best of.
Is tomorrow play-ins?
It's play-ins. I'm not sure if it. I'm assuming it's still at least best of threes. FlyQuest plays tomorrow versus PSG, I believe. And then it's T1 versus someone else tomorrow. That's how the games are at 4 EST, then 7 EST, I believe. So, yeah, it's best of threes. So I'll probably wake up at like 5 and then rewatch the first game on 2x speed and then I'll be caught up. I'm excited. I love MSI.
Yeah, I'm super excited too. I think it'll be really, really fun. I wish they were at a better time for me, like, personally, but you know what? Can't complain with it being, early enough to watch it the day of.
Yeah.
Even if it's not live.
Also, 4 is not that bad. Like, even if you like don't want to wake up early for it, like you miss the first set of games, then you're like waking up to the second set of games, which I think is like always pretty fun.
Yeah,
who gets to work from home.
I was gonna say, as someone who you know, has to be in an office, I'm not gonna be able to watch them. Also, there's so many fucking meetings,
dude. It's gross
for government. It's crazy.
Last Thursday I had 6.5 hours of meetings in one
Ugh. Week. I'm sure they were all necessary as well.
Dude, sometimes I get on like a meeting and like I think I'm too self-aware. I'm like, we had a meeting yesterday where there was 15 people on the call, and I'm like, all these people make a lot more money than me. So how much money is being wasted? Because there's a call that like is not going to turn into anything, and we kind of know that, but we're doing it because you kind of have to do it. Like, you can't just abandon something. So I'm like, fuck, this is just a waste of time for like, it's
you're
so
just
much
like,
money.
This is, there are 20 people on this call that are making $50 an hour each on this 2-hour call. Like, this is a thousands of dollars time expenditure for nothing.
Yeah, how much money did this call cost?
I saw that. Like, there was that guy who, I know you posted a screenshot from a couple, like, maybe a year or so back, Nick. The guy who makes, I don't know how to say it, but like, there was a Valorant one where it's like, oh, if you leave this, you'll be banned or whatever. It was a screenshot from Valorant. He makes, like, in game overlays for stuff,
okay.
His, like, memes. And he did one for, like, Zoom, but it was like, it has the cost of like everyone's like dollar per hour.
That's really funny.
That'd be a great add-on for like Zoom or whatever.
Yeah. That would be a great add-on.
Has your fucking hourly
rate.
That'd
be such a good efficiency tool to have people stop wasting so much time in pointless meetings.
Yeah.
I don't know if it actually would, though. That's the thing.
Yeah. Dude, you just fucking burn money sometimes in government, which is sick.
Yeah. That is awesome.
Yeah. Cool.
Sweet. Let's move on to a roundtable. Roundtable then.
Yeah, so last week's question was, what are your current thoughts on ranked? How are you liking the 3-split system? Do you play more or less than previous seasons? How would you like Riot to change the ranked system? And we got lots of responses. I think a lot of people are feeling a little burnt out, but I'm going to pick a couple of responses. You guys can pick some as you want. I'm going to go first with Obsidian, who said, I like the 3-split system. I'm playing more ranked than I would if there was fewer splits. That said, I think Vanguard is going to make the biggest difference to ranked. People either have to pay a lot more for hand-leveled accounts or to level their own accounts. And I feel like the ranks will settle into a true stratification of skill brackets as a result. Edit, I like the demotion changes. I only play on one account. It seems like most people complaining about the demotion changes are artificially higher ranked than they should be. So seems like someone who has a pretty reasonable take on the game.
Pretty positive outlook.
It's also positive, yeah.
That's interesting because I wonder if Vanguard is actually going to do anything to combat that, or if it's
so like, I don't know, something assuming gonna... it should not allow bots to make accounts, right? Which will in theory reduce the supply of accounts, increasing the like reducing the number of Smurfs. I don't think it'll have an immediate effect. I think that's going to upset people. But I think like a year down the road, assuming nothing new is created, it should reduce the number of Smurfs.
That's fair. Okay.
Cool. Do you guys have any that you like?
Yeah, Pard says, I find myself playing more, but more out of necessity to reach my reward. I would normally play like 10 games a season, so I'll get more than 30 out of E for three splits. I do like that I wasn't really reset this recent split. I don't think there should be any reset between splits, only between seasons, which I think is a good point. And I do feel like a lot of people probably feel the need to play more just because there's more there's more splits and less time between splits, I guess.
Yeah, I don't think this works because they obviously want people to play more, and that's kind of the goal of this, for sure.
Yeah.
But like, it'd be cool if there was like almost just like a checkpoint system, right? Like instead of it reset, like doing a small reset, it just like split one ends and you finish gold. Split two starts and you're still this exact same rank. You know what I mean? So like you can choose to play more, and it should make you want to climb. But obviously, the goal of this is to get more hours in. So
yeah, it's hard to keep that. It's hard to keep the balance between like we want you to keep playing and we gotta keep the carrot close enough to the stick, right?
The tasty carrot, dude.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. Cole, do you have any, or should I move on?
I mean, like I think a lot of the comments talked about the change to demotion. I think we've had that conversation. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's as big deal as a lot of people want to make it like seem, but I also think that they took something that like had issues and replaced it with a still kind of bad system where it's like, I think it would be much better if it just, you know, had a number, right? You were at 104 and you lost 25, and you don't go to 100 and then lose 50 next time. But we've had that conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. That's not going to happen.
Well, yeah, Riot likes their divisions.
Yeah. I got a sick roundtable question this week. It kind of comes from TikTok in a way. Ooh. So if you guys have ever seen like TikTok or YouTube shorts where it's like, okay, the one I saw is, this isn't my algorithm, I promise. It was like a... anime build your boyfriend thing, where it's like it rolls like random anime boys, and then you have to be like, I want this person's personality and this person's eyes. And I turn this into a League of Legends question.
Hell yeah.
Because we've done the things where like, oh, build a character with like different abilities from everything. But instead, the way we're going to do it is I have this randomizer and I'm going to roll it and it's going to come up with a character. And for that character, you have to select at that time whether you want it to be. You take the character's passive, their Q, their W, their E, their R, or their model. And their model includes like range, movement speed, base stats, etc.
Okay.
So it's one of those things that once you're locked in. So if I roll Morgana first and Nick, you say it's Q, I want her Q, and then I roll Blitzcrank, you're already locked in Q.
I can't take his Q, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I can roll these for you guys and you guys can tell me where you want them. I think that's probably the easiest way to do it.
Okay.
So Nick, you're
first. Are we building one individually or?
Yeah, we'll do it individually. I think it's fun.
Okay.
Nick, your first character is Camille.
Camille, I'm taking Hookshot.
Ooh, that's a good one. Next character is Nasus.
Nasus. I'm taking. Oh, part of me wants to say. Yeah, you know what? I'm taking Q.
Okay, so you got Q and E so far.
Yep.
Sejuani.
Wait. Okay. Never mind. Sejuani, I'm taking passive.
Oh, that's a great passive, actually.
Wait. Oh, wait. I can't take Sejuani passive because her E is the actual stun.
Oh, yeah. Good call.
So I guess I'm taking ult.
Okay. You got Yorick.
By the way, the Sejuani passive is just the get a million armor and magic resist.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So you could
Yeah. Then I will take passive.
Cool. Your next one's Yorick.
So what do I have left?
You've taken passive E, Q, and just passive E and Q. Right.
Okay, so I have W and
R.
Oh, I'm taking W.
W, R, or stats.
Yeah,
I'm taking like W, so I can add my own. I can have my own on-demand hookshot.
Yeah, well, that's you can summon a wall to hookshot.
Yeah. I can summon a wall for me to hookshot off of.
Okay,
put them
so you
in
got,
the cage and then jump into it.
So you only have ultimate and then like model, which includes like all your other stuff. So
okay.
Next is Poppy.
Poppy. Fuck.
Great choices.
I guess I'm taking model.
Cool. And then last is you got Riven. So you got Rivenalt.
Oh, I got Rivenalt. Okay, so my character is...
He's fucked.
Yeah, my character seems really good, right?
It's pretty good. Cool.
Okay, can we do a review? What did I said Poppy passive, right? I'm walking around with a big hammer.
So, no, you Poppy took model. Sejuani passive.
Yeah, Sejuani passive.
Oh, Poppy model. That's what I meant. Yeah, Sejuani passive. So I'm able to walk around and get a little tankier. I think that's the weakest part. But then Nasus Q.
Yep.
The mobility and lockdown of Yorick Wall combined with Camille Hookshot and then Riven ult.
That's sick.
That's pretty good. That's a good, you know what? That's a good season one character.
That's a great top laner.
Yeah.
Cool. Colton, want me to roll yours?
Hell yeah, let's do it.
Cool. Your first character is... Do you want me to we'll do it. We'll still go. It's Camille.
Wow, what are the odds?
I'll take Camille passive.
Okay. Oh, that's a great one.
That's a good one.
Cool. Your next character is Sivir.
I'm gonna go with Sivir model.
Yeah.
That's good. That's actually, yeah. Cool.
Probably the best one you're gonna get.
Okay, you got Janna.
Janna?
Ooh.
I'm gonna go with Janna W.
Ooh, that's actually so sick. Cool. You got Kha'Zix.
Okay, Kha'Zix. I'm gonna take Kha'Zix alt.
Ooh,
this character!
I love it. That's sick.
This character is the most annoying top laner.
You got Ezreal.
Ezreal Q.
Oh my god!
So you only have E left? Is that right? Or are we missing something?
I believe so. Yeah, we have E.
And Rek'Sai.
Oh.
So you can't wait. Which one's Rek'Sai?
Is the tunnel bite?
Okay.
So I guess you can only pick one.
Do I have a melee bite? I would take the tunnel for mobility.
I think you have the bite because the tunnel is attached to her.
Is in her burrowed form.
I think you can choose one of the two. I think that's fair.
I don't think it's fair.
I think I'm
just fine. That's fine.
I like that you have Sivir burrowing, though.
Okay, never mind. I'm for it.
Yes, I'm going to take the tunnel. And this character is just the most frustrating top laner to play against.
Because
like anytime
ranged.
They hit you, yeah, they're ranged. They're chipping you with Ezreal Q. When they hit you, they get a fat shield. If you try and engage on you, they tunnel out and stealth away.
Yeah, this sucks.
And they have a bunch of increased movement speed from their W.
Wait. Where is Kha'Zix's evolutions at? Is it passive or is it ult?
It's technically part of his ult.
Ooh, so I get to upgrade all of your abilities too. Yeah, that's sick.
So I upgrade my Ezreal Q to shoot 3.
Okay.
I upgrade my Janna W to, if you're isolated, it slows you 99%.
Oh, no.
And my tunnel resets on kill.
Your character's sick.
Wait, actually, the Q wouldn't shoot 3. The Q would just do isolated damage. So if you're not near anything, my Q does bonus damage. My W gives vision and slows more. And then my E resets and is a bigger ring.
That's crazy.
That's sick.
I think your character's better than mine.
I don't know about better, but God, they'd be annoying to play against.
Someone want to roll for me so I don't get surprised.
Yeah, I got you. All right. Your first champion is Karthus.
I take Karthus passive.
Okay.
Buzzing. All right. Your next champion is Annie.
Fuck. Her Q and her W kind of suck. Her E's all right. I think I take her E.
You could also take her model if you just want to have big auto.
Oh, actually, I forgot. That's the thing. Yeah, I'll take Annie model.
Yeah,
I also just want a
top
child.
That's crazy. All right, next up, we've got Morgana.
Okay, so it's not her ultimate. It's probably her... I kind of want all damage abilities for when I'm in passive, though. I think I'll go her Q.
Okay. Got some good lockdown. Up next, Jinx.
Okay,
Do we take E for chain CC?
Oh, it's a shame you don't have her passive.
I want to go E, yeah. I want to go Q so I can Q into E people.
All right.
So I have W and R left.
Cassadin.
His W is pretty good. Ooh. His R. Yeah, that's,
yeah,
that's,
yeah, I was going to say. Yeah.
Okay. We're rift walking. And finals, this is the W you get. You get Iron W.
Oh, no.
Ooh, feels bad.
The only thing I really like about this is when I'm dead, I can rift walk my dead body onto people.
Yeah, when you're dead, you can also put bushes down. That's sick, man.
I hit them with a Q, drop jink traps on them, and then bush them.
And then bush yourself so they don't hit you back.
Oh, fuck. Okay, cool. That's Colton awesome. Has the best character by like a lot.
Yeah, I think so too.
Cool. So if Sweet. You guys want to do that, you can also do that in our Discord. I think it's kind of hard to explain, so I think people have already done it wrong. But hey, if you're listening to the podcast, you can do it right. So
true. Cool.
Discord.gg/leaguecast.
We're moving into mail fight. We're done with roundtable. Best friend, no longer roundtable. The first one's from Big Mike. Hey guys, a couple of episodes ago, you were talking about the new support item rules and how they add more arbitrary rules to the game. I've been playing for 3 years now, and I still don't know many of them. For instance, I only learned the other day that the first person to aggro Baron does less damage. If possible, you guys mind listing a couple rules off that you think newer players should know? Thanks for the response, Big Mike. Well, Mike, actually, it's the person closest to the Baron, and they'll only do reduced damage for the duration of the debuff.
Yeah, he does a little spit attack at the person who's closest.
Yeah, and you can swap who it is, but ideally you wouldn't want your AD carry to be tanking.
Mm-hmm. I read this email though, and I was like, fuck, this is great, because like even the hidden rule that he knows, he doesn't actually know because it's super hard.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Like, yep. Once again, how do you understand that you take reduced damage from Baron if you're tanking it? The only reason
you have to hover over the fucking...
Yeah, you have to be tanking Baron and then hover over the debuff he gives you when he's hitting you.
Yep.
Like,
mm-hmm. Which is good in a position where you're actually fighting Baron, right? Like, that's what you want to be looking at. Is your fucking debuffs.
they removed this one, but you used to take more damage from Baron if you were behind it.
Oh yeah.
Did they remove it? I feel like it's still there. He just does like special moves.
Yeah.
I don't know. That they got rid of it.
Oh
but...
yeah, he used to just take more. The attack that he does behind him does more damage now. Is how it works, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So it's okay. Like you don't take more damage, but like the attack does more damage. Like, so it's kind of equivalent, but it's not just like a hidden mechanic.
It's not just like a you take 10% more damage from the Baron if you're behind it.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is what it used mm-hmm. to be. I don't know if that was.
It was something like that. Yeah.
Other nice fun arbitrary roles.
Yeah, so one is the turret thing, which we didn't talk about. Was that what spawned this or no?
Name the turret thing as if there aren't multiple turret things.
Okay, so like the big thing that's currently plaguing competitive play is that there's lane swaps happening, right? And a lot of people theorize that lane swaps wouldn't be able to happen anymore because in Season 5, lane swap meta was very, very popular. And what Riot did to fix this was fortification was in the game. Fortification is the turrets take less damage in the first 7 minutes of the game, which all of them were equal. People would lane swap into favorable positions, which then led Riot in Season 6 to implement fortification only for the top and mid turret, meaning for the first 5 minutes of the game, top and mid turret takes less damage than bottom lane turret. This is kind of what stops in general, or what is theorized to stop lane swaps, so you don't swap your AD carry and support top lane, because now you'll lose the bottom lane turret before you lose the top lane turret, because the bottom lane turret is less tanky. We're kind of seeing the adaptation in pro play right now that, like, it's not that big of a deal because you still get so many other advantages, like swapping into favorable matchups. And we're seeing support players take Demolish now, which negates some of the like difference of like, hey, I can Demolish and get plating like really, really fast in these matchups, yeah. Right? Whereas the enemy's bottom lane probably won't take Demolish.
Yeah, I think plating is another big thing about it, where I think you can get one, maybe two platings on a good push, you know, regardless of fortification,
mm-hmm.
whereas back when this was implemented, like, if you get a good push, you just hit the tower and deal, like, 3,000, mm-hmm. 3,500 damage. But with plating, it gets that stacking resist that even if I, you know, if it's a Jinx and a Zyra, like, free hitting the turret, they eventually get stopped because of the plating.
it not only that cool, but it, like this also relates to the lane swap meta, is it's stacking resist from when you take plates that's amplified by the number of people by the turret, right? So in those like old lane swap metas, you'd see like 4 versus 0 tower pushes, right? You'd literally you'd have 4 people on team on blue side team pushing top tower, and then 4 people on red side team pushing bottom tower, because there was no like debuff to like having multiple people that hit the same tower, like,
which is sick.
So, like, yeah, there's lots of things with turret, which are, like, wonky.
I'm going to go over one that I believe I have my head wrapped around in that.
Famous last words.
Tower aggro is based on you hitting an enemy, and the enemy is within the tower's range.
Yep.
So, if me and the enemy are under the tower's range and I hit them, I draw aggro. But if they're outside the tower range, I can be hitting them while under their tower and not draw aggro, which is kind of dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought they made changes to this season or like a couple seasons ago, but I've never looked into it myself, because it feels like there are times where they're not under tower anymore and I still take it, or maybe it's more like loose than it used to be, but it definitely for sure used to be like that, and I still think it is like that. But that's great. Another one is
struggling coming up with some, because I feel like they're just so normalized in our games now.
Yeah, there's tons of things with jungle items. There's been metas in the game where you'd funnel a character, meaning you have a jungle Yi, for example, and you'd play it with either like a Taric mid or a Kayle top. And the way it would work is Yi would do his jungle camps, but then he would also come mid, and your mid laner, who's in Taric in this case, or your top laner, who's Kayle, Kayle Taric was the combo. Your top laner, who would be like a Taric, is just holding waves for this character to get all the gold from the jungle and all the gold from the mid lane, which makes them really far ahead in level, really far ahead in gold. So what they've done is that after you farm a certain amount of solo lane gold, lane minion gold, you get reduced jungle penalty. I don't know what the exact word is like that they use in the game, but it penalizes you for farming lanes so that you can't funnel this character a shitload of gold.
Yeah, I don't, something like just a CS penalty, farming penalty.
It's similar to the support farming penalty, but which kind of spawned all this of like you can't just eat minions. If you eat minions, then you're gonna get reduced value.
I think that there is, again, and this is one that's changed so much, I couldn't tell you the exact mechanics of it now, but the jungle camp experience, to my understanding, the way it works currently is that when the jungle camp spawns, it takes an average level of all of the players in the game and determines what level the jungle camp will be, and it remains that level until it is killed.
Yeah.
So you have to keep clearing your camps, or like late game, if you haven't, like, let's say you cleared Krugs in your first clear and haven't touched it since, if you cleared it like 20 minutes, it's going to be like 40 XP because it's still like a level 3 Krug camp.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yep. Which is why, like, sometimes it's better to counter jungle camps instead of buffs.
For sure. And another thing that's kind of related to that is when you have the jungle item, you get increased XP for jungle minions that you kill. So this is like just a large chunk of XP. I believe it's only on the large one that you kill, I think is how it mechanically works in the game. So when you kill Big Krug, you get a bonus 50 XP or whatever. This also applies to the new Void Camp, but it only applies to the first of the 3 set of Voids that you kill. So killing one of the 3 is more XP per Void thing than killing all 3, because you only get the bonus XP on the first one that you kill.
Yeah, so let's say you got 1,000 XP for killing all 3. Yeah. The first kill is going to be like 400 of it.
Yeah,
but I know at one point, I don't know if they've changed it, but it was actually like almost based on a timer where if you killed one, de-aggroed it and came back and then killed a second one, you got the bonus on both.
Weird.
Yeah.
I'm learning so much.
Yeah. Another one, which I think they got rid of, but I don't know. This is like, it's crazy.
Yeah, that's the
is the dragon stacking one, where for every dragon you kill, Subsequent dragons, or maybe it's just elder. I don't remember. Or maybe it's just soul.
I think it was dragons.
It's just, yeah. Subsequent dragons that you kill do 10% more damage to you and take 10% less damage from you. So if you have four dragons, the next dragon, or soul in this case, would take 40%, do 40% more damage to you and take 40% less, was how it worked.
No, so, I don't think it works that way anymore, but it definitely used to. But who knows?
Because they're all hidden things that are one line in a patch and then never discussed again. There's no, I mean, there's the way to find out is that you get in a game, you get a bunch of dragons, and you see if there's a debuff on you. Like,
or you just happen to be reading the wiki.
Or even, I feel like you don't even always have a debuff. You'd have to just be like, okay, it was 15 minutes and the dragon had auto-attacked me for 90 damage. And then in my other test case where I had killed an additional dragon, it hit me for 95. Right? Like
something stupid like that, yeah.
Like you have to actually run those test cases and like crunch the numbers, and it's crazy.
Speaking of dragon's auto attack is a spell because Pantheon can solo it by blocking auto attacks previously.
Mm-hmm. And you can block it with Nocturne Shield and Severe.
Nocturne Shield, but you can't block it with like Shen zone, like, yeah. For example.
Other fun stuff, I mean, it's pretty minimal, but I would say if you're not aware that like stacking movement speed gives diminishing returns.
I learned that stacking armor magic just doesn't give diminishing returns.
Yeah,
because like
seems like it does, but that's just math.
Yeah, that's just math. Yeah, I learned, I did that, and I was like, Colton, I learned that, and then I spent like 15 minutes just like plugging in numbers. I'm like, oh, it is true. Yeah,
yeah. I also had that experience. I think like 5-6 years ago, where like I worked through the math, and then there were some times where we had talked about it on the show, and I'm just like, I'm not going to get into this conversation now.
Yeah.
The number that you see is a diminishing number, but the mitigation you get is not a diminishing amount.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, dude, the game's fucking crazy.
Very true.
And then like, these are general things. If we wanted to get into, like, specific character abilities and interactions, it gets crazy real fast.
Yeah, I would love if like our community, if they had any more that we missed. I'm sure there's more that we just can't think of off the top of our head.
Yeah.
Like, dude, it's so gross, man.
Yeah, for sure. Well, thank you, Big Mike.
Next email is from Sneezy Snowcone. Hey, guys. Hope you all are doing well. I will warn you guys, this is a long-winded email. It didn't take up 4 pages, so I don't think it is. I'm a newer player, played 2 matches of Susan in 2018, and didn't play until March of this year. And I enjoy playing support tanks, but despise being in the bot lane. That being said, I took Blitz into the top lane and went 20 kills, 6 deaths, 30 assists over 3 games.
Wow.
Running Sundered Sky into Steel Caps into Eclipse and maxing E. The E scaling is disgusting. It does crazy damage. I also like playing Reltop, going Heartsteel, Sunfire, Abyssal, running Aftershock as my keystone. I think Heartsteel is the strongest item on Rel because it makes Aftershock, Shield Bash, Sunfire, Abyssal, and her W shield scale up with the health and go nuts. Shield Bash scales twice with base health and W shield. Heartsteel is also easy to proc with Rel as you use W auto attack and can Q to help escape if need be. Can also toss in the E for some bonus damage. In other words, by using these strats in comp, how would I fare? P.S. First strike Sejuani goes nuts. Had a game where I could buy Thorn Mail with the bonus gold and remove the cap on Abyssal. You don't deserve MR. I don't know what that means.
Abyssal Mask steals MR, but it's based on your maximum health up to a max value. So you get like +2 to the amount of MR you're reducing nearby up to a maximum of 30.
Okay.
Which requires a fucked amount of health or something.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. So I think Aiden's the top lane expert. I don't think that any of these are, like, particularly good, but I think if you play them well, you can certainly beat up, you can beat opponents up to, like, your skill level.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those things where, like, oh, I just don't know what this character does, and I typically see them in the support role. Like, I will underestimate their damage, their trades, like, whatever it is, and you win lane, like, that way.
Yeah, for sure.
But, I mean, you could definitely get, like, value out of that. There are a lot of characters who have, or a lot of players who have one-tricked characters to success like that. If you like that style of play, like, try the new Skarner. I feel like he's a very good way to have a strong laner while simultaneously being, like, a more of a supportive style of frontline champion.
Hell yeah.
Cool. Thank you to Sneezy Snowcone?
Yes, yeah. Sneezy Snowcone.
Sneezy Snowcone. Next is... Wait, name is Red Black Wax? Oh, for this one. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, I thought that was the same email. Hello, gentlemen. Long-time listener, first-time emailer. Here are my thoughts on this roundtable question. First off, I'm an AD carry player with about 250 games in solo queue. I think ranked is fine as is. The minus 50 with the motion is a hard blow, and it is hard to get motivation to climb back. But with less minus 30 plus 18 and more plus 20... plus or minus 22 to 25, it's more enjoyable and feels way more fun to climb after a demotion. The fact there's three splits is also more enjoyable since you don't have... since you can have a rush to grind some LPs, and for me, it just does it. I play the same amount as previous seasons, and it doesn't stop me from taking a week break off ranked. Wouldn't change it personally. Also, have you seen the changes to Corki announced by Freak? Thoughts on this?
Is the Freak special? They want to bring him back to bot lane.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah.
Sick. He's back. Return of the King.
I do love in the Freak changes, just really quickly, that they're planning on removing his package.
Oh, yeah, I do too. It feels like way too impactful of an ability for it to be like a passive. Like, I understand it has a big cooldown, but I don't know. It seems nuts.
I mean, he mentions it in his thing. Like, it fucking puts him in pro jail. Like,
yeah,
it's true. A fucking just massive objective, like, winner. Like, it's so gross.
Yeah. Yeah, true. Cool. Awesome. Thank you to Black Wax.
I have one more hidden thing, by the way, in the game. First wave of the game of minions is ghosted. So, like, they can't be, like, moved.
Oh, interesting.
And that's the idea there, is because you could walk up to the enemy or to your wave. And, like, as it's walking to lane, you could stand in front of your wave and, like, make it, like, delayed by, like, 2 seconds, mm-hmm. which then will start their wave on your side of the map. So, yeah, it's the first
very
wave
strong
which, I mean,
strategy.
You still kind of can do a little bit, because the ghost falls off after it passes your turret.
Yeah.
So you can still kind of body block them to delay it, but it's much...
It's more less likely that you just do the opposite now, of like you pull their wave rather than blocking your own wave, which is funny because it has the exact opposite effect, but it's still
of what you want. Yeah,
it gives you decision, like control over the lane, right, rather than just letting it happen naturally. So it's interesting.
Cool. That'd be a good roundtable question, huh?
Yeah.
Huh, interesting. Awesome. Thank you guys for listening. That'll do it for this episode. If you want to send us an email, it's mail@leecastpodcast.com. On Twitch, we're King Lardout, Blue Basket, and Leecast Frost. Visit our website, leecastpodcast.com. Join our Discord server, discord.gg/leecast. And support us on Patreon, patreon.com/leecast. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.